Please introduce yourself and give a brief idea on which part of the Decide project your work contributed to.
I'm Per Olav Vondvik. I'm an internist and a practicing physician, but I also do research on guidelines and evidence-based practice. And I'm heading the MAGIC Research and Innovation Program, which is quite a large program from Oslo, Norway, where we are developing new tools to create, publish, and update guidelines. And that was actually my way into the Decide project. So I contributed in Decide in two work packages in particular, one being the work package to create strategies to disseminate evidence to healthcare professionals, which is work package one. And the other one was related to work package one, actually, but work package three, where we also want to disseminate evidence to patients. MAGIC and Decide collaborated on these particular issues. I also took part of the evidence to decision framework.
What are the most important findings from your work with Decide?
So the most important findings from our work with Decide and in collaboration with MAGIC is the new presentation formats of guidelines. So clinical practice guidelines now being presented in what we call multi-layered digital formats, where clinicians can find quickly answers to their questions at the point of care by finding recommendations first. And the recommendations are presented as strong or weak recommendations according to the grade system. And then they could click on the recommendations and find more information. So this is one key finding and result from the side that we're very pleased with. I'll come back to how these have been implemented in real guidelines later. The other key finding from the side is the consultation decision aids, which relates to how to disseminate evidence to patients as well. So we found out that we wanted to have tools so that clinicians can share information about benefits and harms of treatment alternatives with patients in consultations. So we built on work done by colleagues at the Mayo Clinic, Victor Montori, who had made such consultation decision aid cards. And we decided we wanted to link such decision aids to recommendations and guidelines. We now have produced these decision aids on top of recommendations and guidelines, which means that clinicians actually can sit down with patients and discuss treatment alternatives as part of the consultations.
How has Decide changed the way that you work?
Well, if you're thinking about the way we perform our research in MAGIC, it's been very helpful to be part of the Decide project because it was a nice protocol that explained the methods we were going to use to create these new presentation formats for guidelines, for instance. So we're following the same approach now for other research projects in MAGIC, where we do brainstorming and sketching with designers and then stakeholder feedback and then user testing, you know, sitting down with clinicians and exploring with them how they like and understand these presentation formats and then moving to surveys and trials, which I thought was a nice, perhaps innovation in the site in terms of building on current frameworks for research methodology, coming up with a streamlined process of moving from an idea to actually a product. So that's changed the way we work in MAGIC for current and future projects. That's been very helpful.
How might Decide's work help other guideline groups?
Well, that's where we're also very happy to see that what we did in Decide and also then very much related to MAGIC was to say that we need tools to actually help guideline developers to create and publish guidelines in these new formats. So MAGIC App is our tool, it's an authoring and publication platform, which is web-based, and GDT is another tool. And now over the past few years, we've had the Nordic health authorities who are responsible for creating national guidelines. Now they've started using MAGIC App and they're actually publishing guidelines and recommendations in these multi-layered formats that we created with together with Decide. So we're actually seeing real life implementation of the strategies. And there are lots of advantages with moving to that way of publishing guidelines, which makes it also easier to collaborate and share the hard work of creating guidelines and updating guidelines across, say, for instance, the Nordic countries. So we have some innovation projects now in the Nordic countries where they actually now, for the first time, are collaborating on guideline development, which is made a lot easier by the DECIDE strategies and these tools.
How did MAGIC work with DECIDE?
Actually, at the time when DECIDE got funding, we started the MAGIC project, and it was very clear that we had overlapping objectives. So we were part of DECIDE from the start, from the first meeting in Geneva, I guess, 2011. And we decided that we would contribute in these two work packages for clinicians and patients. And from there on, we had funding in MAGIC to have PhD students work on these projects. So we have been closely working with Pablo Alonso heading Work Package 1 throughout the project. So that's been, I think, very successful for both parties.
Were there any challenges and how did you overcome them?
The challenges were, first of all, related to the fact that there were two projects, which obviously creates additional challenges compared to a situation where everything was run from within the site. I think the leadership in DECIDE, Sean Dravik and Andy Oxman, did a great job in making this happen in a nice way. I think a general challenge in big projects and EU projects with 10 partners is to actually have all the partners contribute. And we felt that there was limited interest from some of the partners in actually taking part in the research and user testing. And the other challenge, I guess, is to actually have these organizations who were partners to now adopt the strategies. And some of them are really big organizations and they have, I guess, their internal barriers or challenges, which makes it difficult for them to make use of the strategies. So I think we overcame the challenges by great leadership and a very good setup of the DECIDE project. Another challenge was that the technology was not really clearly formulated from the start in DECIDE. And we came in from MAGIC with a very clear objective to also create the tools. And in this context, we're talking about in really presenting recommendations to clinicians at a point of care, even in the electronic medical record. That's work we're now moving forward within MAGIC, but I think we had a very strong focus on the methodology, the grade system, the evidence and decision framework, and the presentation formats, but not a strong enough emphasis on the whole digitalization of information which is happening worldwide in every area. I think we nicely addressed this throughout the project and the fact that these big guideline organizations now are using new tools like the MAGIC app or GDT to create and publish recommendations in these new formats has shown that we overcame the challenges. And we have continued to work on this in the great working group and to make sure that guideline organizations and others know that there are alternative tools and platforms to use.
What is the difference between the MAGIC app and GradePro GDT?
This is an important question also for current and future users of these tools to understand that there are some commonalities but also some differences. So I think GDT GradePro offers a wider range of services to a wider range of target groups. So, you know, MAGIC app is set up very much focused on clinical practice recommendations and guidelines,
mm-hmm.
but also now the decision aids we've developed. GDT, I would think, would offer a wider functionality for health policymakers and maybe other target group beyond practice guidelines. We have a very strong focus on digitally structured data in MAGIC app, which allows us to create decision support systems in the electronic medical record, for instance, and also this automated link between creation of guideline content and publication. So once you have created content in MAGIC app, you could publish on smartphones and tablets and all sorts of devices. And so far, GDT hasn't got that in place yet. So the outputs from GDT now is less advanced than what we have in MAGIC app at the moment. That might change with the GDT, I think. It's very much down to the hardcore technology and the structure of the data in the database, which was our key interest from day one in MAGIC, to make sure that we structure the data in the authoring platform so that you could publish not sorts of formats, but also actually to build more advanced decision support systems. So I think that's a difference, at least in terms of how these platforms work now. If we split between guideline creation and authoring, and then how it looks like for the end users, that's kind of two different target groups. Those who create guidelines, if they say, for instance, they want to publish their guidelines in a scientific journal in a typical Word format, PDF flat format, they might want to create evidence profiles or summary fine tables and recommendations in the GDT Grade Pro. And they actually have better outputs right now for use directly in journals than we have at the moment in Magic App, although we're building this now. So I think if guideline or system review authors just want to produce flat PDF or Word formats, then GDT is likely what they need. If they want to, again, also be able to automatically publish the content through smartphones, tablets, etc., and then create more advanced decision support, then Magic App has some advantages. So I think it's important that people understand that these are alternative platforms, that both are adhering with the grade approach and capturing new improvements in the grade system, but they have some slightly different functionalities. So good that people choose the tool they best like to work with. The other really important part is that we have to make sure you can export data from GDT to Magic App and the other way around. So you could switch tools later on. And that's ongoing work now, where we hope the GDT will be able to export from the GDT to Magic App, because we could export from Magic App to other platforms, but they haven't come far enough, I think, in this integration. So I think that's important to get in place. Within health IT and technology, and as you mentioned, that there is never one app that has monopoly in the world. It's good to have several platform tools that are developed, and then people will choose to use the one that fit their purposes best.
What do you think is the single biggest benefit of this collaboration between Decide and Magic?
The single biggest benefit? It's a difficult question to answer, but I think I would say the great international network of collaborators that are experts in health research methodology and the grade system, and then big guideline organizations who have lots of experience in guideline development coming together, also in the development of tools, is the biggest benefit we have harvested from this collaboration. Several of the organizations who were part of the side are now part of our future project in Magic. So Sean Trevique is one example, and other groups are definitely now increasing collaboration with Magic after the site. We've had interactions with NICE as well, and we're together in an EU project proposal. And I'm curious to see, to what extent those big organizations really want to adopt the site strategies, because I really would hope that a big organization such as NICE and WHO would actually also implement the strategies downstream. So I think through this project, we have established very nice personal collaboration with representatives from these organizations. And I hope this to materialize through to real life guidelines coming from key organizations.
What have the reactions been of these guideline users to using the Magic App?
We're doing large-scale innovation projects, say, with the Nordic health authorities, where we actually really explore how the authors can make use of the tool, and we're making improvements in Magic App based on those, on the feedback we get. And generally, very positive feedback, and we need to improve functionality in the authoring side. And on the end user side, we've done similarly both the research in the site, how do clinicians actually find and understand and make use of recommendations in the top layer formats. And according to the studies we published, it's positive experiences, room for improvement. And then having Magic App in your smartphone or desktop or wherever, and now when they're used in real life guidelines we're actually exploring now in the inhalation project. So positive experiences, people like the top layer formats, makes a lot of sense to them. They are frustrated by the fact that they can't find more than a few guidelines out there now. So I think the big question for me now is how, you know, if an increasing number of organizations will use the size strategies and tools like Magic App and GDT to publish recommendations, clinicians will be more exposed to them and then, for instance, more easily understand the concept of strong and weak recommendations, which is one of the key findings from the side project and the work we did, was that clinicians suddenly have to understand these concepts. So the whole dissemination of the side strategies now, it will be interesting to see how many organizations will use them, because that will hugely impact, I think, how clinicians kind of value the outputs. The side has been a success and a great project, and still it's so much work to be done. So say, for instance, guidelines we tested in physicians, we need to also test in other groups of healthcare professionals. We need to improve the presentation formats for both how to present recommendations and evidence summaries. Also thinking about how patients or consumers, people, could get access to this, to the guidelines and the evidence summaries and decision aids to make better use of them. So I'm hoping that there will be future large projects that will pick up where the site left. And one such project that I'm responsible for now, where, again, Sean Trevic will head one of the work packages, is the evidence ecosystem project, where, again, I think the site really provides a great platform together with Magic, because now we know how we could create and publish and even dynamically update guidelines through the site strategies and these tools. But we actually need to link to other stages of the evidence ecosystem, which is basically broken now. So, you know, the evidence production part is how do you do trials and studies quickly and for the most important and relevant questions, and how do you apply the right methodology? Well, the TrialForge is a great project headed by Sean, where they are trying to support trialists to do more relevant and high quality research. Now, if those groups are able to structure the data the right way in new tools, those data could be automatically exported into systematic reviews. And we're working with Cochrane already in this evidence ecosystem project, where Cochrane is the main partner, so that all the data in the systematic reviews will be structured, so we could automatically export the meta-analyses and the evidence summaries straight into guidelines. And then you have tools like Magic App to take it all the way down to the point of care with patients, clinicians, and even decision support systems in the EMR. Then the final siloed community of people we need to link with in the evidence ecosystem is those doing quality improvement. And all those people struggling with implementing and evaluating and improving care, they typically don't talk to the guideline people or the systematic review people or the trialists. So we want to have also those doing quality improvement work with us, and through digitally structured data in the electronic medical record to make it possible to actually implement recommendations and measure performance based on those recommendations in the electronic medical record. So I think this is, for us, at least in Magic, the next 5 or, I don't know, 10 years to really make a change in healthcare.